This is Rod Peterson on Demand.
No! The Stars offered me box seats, luxury box suites for game 7? I think it was game 6. And I said, hey, Stanley Cup could get handed out tonight. I've always wanted to be in the building when the Stanley Cup gets handed out. And she said, we came down here for George Strait. We're going to George Strait.
How about that?
So I walked out of Cowboys Stadium and I'm like, hey, who won the Stars game? Who won the Stars game? It's Dallas in 2000. No, the who, the what? And I'm like, this wouldn't have happened in Winnipeg. They know.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It's hour 2 of the RP Show, everybody. It's a Monday coming down. Facebook Live only here for hour 2. Hour 1 was highly successful on Game Plus TV Network. And if you didn't watch it, I encourage you to go back and listen. We had Mike Abou-Meshrig with us, and he's still here.
We'll leave.
How you doing? I asked him to stay. And Dustin Nielsen of TSN Edmonton. And coming up this hour, Mike Morreale, the commissioner of the CEBL, Canadian Elite Basketball League. Boy, they're really rolling. They had the Saskatchewan Rattlers won their inaugural season championship. And then this year, the Edmonton Stingers. And now they got news for season 3. Mike Morreale is going to join us to talk about that. We're the first media outlet across the country they're going to talk about with today's news.
Breaking it.
That's exciting.
Breaking news.
And Garrick Jones. This is awesome. The commish. He started a petition to be the general manager of the Houston Texans. And Abou, you played with him. Does this surprise? This wouldn't surprise you that the commish would be doing this.
Big Jeezy? Man, he just does stuff. If you want something done, he's your guy. I don't know, whatever you need done, he's going to get it done.
Are you going to stick around to interview him on being GM of the Texans?
Oh, can I? Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Are you going to stick around?
I have to. I'm contractually obliged. It's just anybody that knows Garrick, and most of them, you know, that played with him, think this is awesome. We just want to see how far it goes or has gone, and he'll join us because the Texans are 0-2. You know they're going to fire Bill O'Brien at some point.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, GMs, coaches, I like having, you know, you can't trade the best receiver in the league for a maybe iffy running back.
And dumb
pay,
move.
And pay them the same, you know. You can't, just can't do it. Corona, no corona.
Hey, Trenton Norway has written, and can we get to his comment? He says, Norway calling, I suspect that Dallas will win game 2 over the Bolts. Will the Blue Jays be back on the winning track after yesterday's win over the Phillies? And I wonder if the CEBL will expand again. Stay well, everyone. That is Trent in Norway checking in today. That is his stab at our Quick 6 show topics, about 3 of them. Before we bring in Mike Morreale, let's re-up on the Quick 6 show topics. Jordan, let's do that. We wanted to recognize, it is not the best topic, but out of respect for the Ash family, we wanted to recognize Melfort Mustangs player Dylan Ash was killed over the weekend, single vehicle accident. Tragedy continues to strike our junior hockey community. I don't know what it is, but we just wanted to recognize Dylan, his family, and know our thoughts are with them. Funeral arrangements pending. Point 2, week 2 in the NFL takeaways. My Cowboys won. DuPont's Titans won. Producer Clark's Falcons lost. So it was 2-1 for us. You don't have an NFL team, do you, Abou?
Like in the Bills, or maybe.
You give me grief for switching NHL teams all the time. You're like that with the NFL.
Bills were the team that was closest to home, and you know when you're going through that kind of prepubescent age, you just want to hate everything. I decided that I was going to hate the Bills, and now they remind me of...
30 years later, you're coming around.
We'll see. I didn't say yet. We'll see.
Okay. They won at Miami, by the way. So yeah, the Bills right here. Canada's team. Point 3, the Russell Wilson, Cam Newton shootout on Sunday night. Abou is with them, lining up Cam Newton in shotgun on 3rd and 1 with a game on the line. They didn't convert, by the way, but he liked the call. Point 4, Raptors playoff games are smashing the NHL in television ratings in Canada. I just looked that up over the weekend. It was actually sent to me. I want to get Mike Morreale's take on that. Point 5, Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final goes tonight. Stars won the opener on Saturday night 4-1 over the Tampa Bay Lightning, despite being outshot 36-20. This is not computing in my head, but this is a must-win tonight for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And it leads to this question, our poll question today for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. Are you watching the Stanley Cup playoffs? What's the answer for you? What are you voting? Be honest.
No.
Okay. I'm voting
when
yes.
The Leafs are out. I'm done. I watch the game? It was on TV, and it'll probably be on TV again, but I'm not watching it. It's just on TV.
60% of respondents saying no, they're not watching the Stanley Cup playoffs. They've moved on. Put me in the yes category. And point six, chaos in CFL Sim Friday night, our eSports league. There was a brawl at the end of the Riders Stampeders game. I don't know why. It was a glitch in the program, but people loved it. Stampeders won it in overtime, 19-16. Okay, let's do it. Let's bring in our longtime friend, Mike Morielli. Ty Katz, great. Throw on your headphones, Abu. Commissioner of the CEBL joining us. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well, guys. Abu, nice to see you, bud.
What's up, buddy? What's going on?
Not too much. Good to see some familiar faces.
Yeah, it's good to have you on, Mike, as always. And let's start, please, with a football question. If you don't mind, how did you feel about Cam Newton lining up in shotgun on third and goal from the one with the game on the line? How did you feel?
Not probably the smartest strategy. Again, it's always great to prognosticate after the fact, but with a guy of his size and his strength, you figure he'd be get as close to that line of scrimmage as possible.
That's what I thought too. Well, I know we didn't bring you on to talk football, but I know you've been in those situations before, so I just wanted to defer to your football knowledge. Yeah, go ahead, Abu. What do you got?
Mike, you used to jump over the pile and get that quarterback before he got that yard. Isn't that what you used to do?
No, this is like everybody. You're thinking of Hitchcock. Me and Hitchcock get confused all the time.
You guys played against each other.
But didn't they bring you in as the jumper? Didn't they bring you in as the jumper on field goal?
In my dreams, my friend. Maybe once in a while. In my dreams.
I thought you were the jumper on...
Two Southern Ontario kids the same age. I was thinking he was thinking amateur football maybe, Mike. Didn't you know he played at Western. I think that's what he's talking about. Did you ever take a defensive snap?
That's the problem.
Yeah. Did you ever take a defensive snap in your life?
I did. I also did some punting and kicking, too. I did whatever the heck they needed.
They did everything.
The more you can do, the longer you stick around.
Does that translate to basketball, by the way? What does versatility mean in the pro basketball world?
Well, for me, in my role, it means that you do everything. You're the chief cook and bottle washer. But when it comes to actually the guys in the court, I think they're pretty defined in their roles. You know, you don't get too many guys switching spots.
So, hurry up, Ryan. Our technical producer just ran across the set here. So you have news, Mike, and it's exciting. And what's very exciting for me, because you know that we've been in on the CEBL since you guys began. And I hear these cities, they want you in Winnipeg. They want you in Montreal. They want you in all these towns. You expanded to Ottawa last year. You got news today that Calgary's in the offing for the CEBL. What can you tell us?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're really excited about what we're able to kind of create here and really start to see it come to fruition with excitement about moving to additional markets. And of course, you mentioned we added Ottawa for 2020. We're looking and wanting to add one for 2021. Of course, COVID's playing a little bit of a hiccup there, but Montreal is high on that list. And then following that into 2022 and in 23-ish, you know, the hope is to add places like Winnipeg and Calgary and even another team in Ontario and out east. So we're getting the interest. Of course, it's still preliminary stages, but that is where you start. You start from interest and you build from there. So we're really excited about the opportunities.
Yeah. So, Mike, that news came out this morning and I've been up tied up doing this show. Can you take me a little further into the Calgary scenario in terms of where this franchise would play and how close are you to awarding it?
I think we're still a bit away. I mean, the area, Calgary itself, is become a hotbed for basketball. Of course, the Dinos won the U-Sport Championship not too long ago. We have some players that played in the Dinos in our league, as a matter of fact. The big stumbling block, I think, right now is just a proper facility. Obviously, the Saddle Dome is going to be replaced. We'll have to see the scalability and size of the new arena, how that could possibly fit into our plans. And if there's any alternative opportunities there. Our our preferred size venue is those mid-range venues that range, you know, from 5 to 10,000. Just creates better intimacy. But with a lot of the new venues that are going up, even the bigger ones, they have scalable sizes that you can work with. So that's part of the process. We had a couple groups that are interested. We're still going through kind of the ins and outs of that, and knowing that we probably have a, you know, a Montreal on the list first. Our attention is primarily there, but you got to keep all options open as you're trying to build your league and make sure that you're doing it properly.
If you're looking at venues and with social distancing uncertainty in the future, how does that come into play as far as maybe a 60,000 seat arena is now capacity?
Yeah, what you want. Yeah.
What do you even want? Like, how did that come?
Isn't that fun? Yeah, that's funny. So because it's kind of true, but we won't go to that extent. But we have a business plan that we can survive on a smaller attendance figure. So we can, even at, you know, 30% capacity, 50% capacity, and the majority of our venues will be just fine. So that's a nice fallback position to be in. We don't need to get 10,000 people in the venue at any given time to be profitable. So it allows us some flexibility. And we went through a very successful, you know, Hub City summer series that we just pulled off. So that's also a great backup contingency plan to do that, maybe do it in a more profound way and regionalizing some of the hubs and culminating in a big kind of tournament at the end. So all those ideas are part of the decision process as we look towards scheduling. And we'll just sit back a bit and watch the CHL, kind of get an idea of what they're doing, because they play in the majority of the venues that we play in. And we'll get a better understanding of if fans can be in attendance and what that looks like.
Can you tell us what your magic number is, Mike, for turning a profit or losing money?
Yeah, we're in that about 2,500. So that's a nice spot to be when you're looking to sell that. You know, there's others that have to sell 10 times that amount. So we're real comfortable in that number. We can be profitable even, you know, beneath that, depending on, you know, how we do in sponsorship and some other cost saving measures. But it's a nice, comfortable position to be. We don't want just 2,500 in the building. We want 4, 5, 6, 10,000 people. We'll grow to that over time. But to know that, you know, you're not risking everything to try to be successful is a nice position to be in.
And Mike, how do you explain the growth of basketball across Canada from coast to coast, taking over, you know, some NHL playoff games as far as who's watching?
Yeah. Yeah, it has just become not only is it one of the highest participation sport, soccer and basketball kind of go neck and neck in that on a given year, but it's also very inclusive. Everybody can play it. You can pick up a basketball, find a net and play for free. It's very, you know, culturally, it's significant. Basketball involves more than just the sport. It involves music and lifestyle and arts and everything. So it's the entertainment package. So, you know, when people watch basketball, they like the fact that it can be, you know, done in 2 hours, let's say, instead of hanging around for three and a half hours. It's very fan friendly in that respect. And it's cool. You know, we look at the rates of people going to play in minor basketball clubs have increased, you know, over 50% year over year. That has to do with, you know, the players in our league, they all come from the Vince Carter era, back when 25 years ago. And now, you know, the fans are starting to come out from, of course, what the Raptors have done with the championship last year and how far they get to the playoffs. So basketball is cool. It's now. And now it's time for us and the, you know, the greater community and the country to invest in basketball, invest in basketball facilities, and really become a premier place for our players to play. We are the best producer of basketball talent outside of the U.S. and the entire world, certainly for the NBA. And if you look at our pros playing all over Europe and Asia and elsewhere, we are, you know, right there as well. So we've got 8,800 ice rinks in this country. We have zero purpose-built basketball facilities. You know, I think something has to change. We see what we can do without investment. Imagine what we can do with some investment as well.
Yeah, you say that, and it's just around here, out here in Western Canada, or even in this province, they say when the Riders do well, minor football numbers are up. Blue Jays do well, baseball registration's up. And the Raptors have been hot, so basketball's hot. And the thing is, you get into it and you stay, you learn the sport, and you realize, hey, this is awesome. Speaking of awesome, last one for you, Mike. Commissioner Morielli, sorry. The owner of the league, Richard Petco, I started following him on Twitter. You told me he was a cool dude. He's your boss.
Yep.
Whoa! He has some very strong thoughts on coronavirus, and he's not afraid to let it rock on Twitter, man. Tell me about Richard Petko, the owner of the CEBL.
I got to tame Richard every so often. Of course, his personal opinions are his. They never infiltrate into our business, which is great, because you know we obviously have a different look at what is going on. And like most owners, I think they have they're hardworking entrepreneurs. They have certain beliefs, and doesn't just extend to our owner. If you look across all leagues, people have the way they feel and look at different aspects. He's not a fan of what's going on now, but it doesn't change the focus that we have and in terms of our players and our staff and our partners and everything. He wants to see basketball successful. He wants to see people in the stands. We're going to do it safely when the time is right, and listen to all those people that tell us what to do. And Richard will be just on my shoulder, just chirping away, but still letting me do my job, which is the best part about it.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I didn't say I disagreed with it. I just couldn't believe what I was reading, because you just don't see that very often from a guy in a position like his. But he doesn't care. Clearly, he's got a lot of dough. He doesn't have to care. So, Mike, I appreciate the interview. Good luck, man, with everything. You know, we're following it very close, supporting it all, and I appreciate the time today.
All right, thanks, guys. Great seeing you again.
Yeah, you too. By the way, so Mike Morielli with us. Ticats, great. Part of the greatest Ticats team ever, 1999.
Greatest.
Did you actually think he was Rob Hitchcock?
No, and he hates that. I know that.
But clearly he thought that you thought he was Rob Hitchcock.
I thought they brought him in to like jump over the top. No, Cockwood was a much different player, but they look the same.
Yes, they do.
I guess. But no, I thought he did everything. He held, he kicked, he punted. I thought they brought him
Would you have liked more time to explain that?
No.
You're the guy that walked up to Mark Lee and thought he was Chris Cuthbert.
That's true. That is true.
I wonder if Morielli's ever been mistaken for Sandy Beveridge.
Oh, that guy was like Sandy Beveridge, like 340 pounds.
No, he wasn't.
Sandy Beveridge.
No, he was like a 215 pound linebacker.
Oh, different Sandy Beveridge.
Or DB. Mike, settle it.
Sounds
for
like
us.
A long weekend. Sandy Beveridge.
We got to take a break and get out of here. We got the commish coming up. Sports update. Yeah. Jeff, the Stamps fans, I didn't understand if he was arguing with me or not, because the 1999 Hamilton Tiger Cats team is the greatest Ticats team ever. It ain't close. It's not.
Oh, they're so good, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't know if you don't argue with me on that.
They could party, too. What?
They could party, too.
Said that.
We'll be back. It's the RP Show, Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and please leave us a review and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, as our Monday program continues. I was going to say Monday football program, because that's what it's turned into.
A lot of football yesterday.
A lot of football yesterday, but this has been a lot of CFL talk. But we'll continue with the NFL. Another friendly face that Garrick Jones is going to see is Mike Abumeshrix here. I cross-referenced, and I saw that you guys played together. Jeezy.
You didn't believe me?
No, I believe you.
You believe me. So you looked it up on...
No.
Let's see if he's lying.
I did this for our viewers.
Oh, okay.
So just before we go to Garrick Jones, who started the petition to be the next general manager of the Houston Texans. By the way, they still have one, but not for long. But Garrick Jones from Little Rock, Arkansas, 6'5", 312 when he played at Arkansas State.
Ooh.
With the Jacksonville Jaguars, Winnipeg Blue Bombers, that's where he crossed paths with Abu. Kansas City Chiefs, 3 seasons with the Houston Texans, then the Atlanta Falcons, back to Winnipeg, where he was with you again. No, you were in Ottawa then. Mm-hmm. Calgary, then the Edmonton Eskimos. And now he joins us today from the great state. Kamish, how you doing?
Fellas, I'm good, man. How y'all doing?
We're doing well. So what can you tell me about playing with Mike Abumeshrix? He's smiling already as he sees you on the screen here. Tell me about Bomber days with you two.
Oh man, we had a blast, man, to be honest with you. I got a chance to cross paths with Abu when I came back, and that was after I spent a little time in the NFL, man. Now he's a hell of a teammate, man. I love him, man. The Canada's home for me, man. That's where I got my start. And I love every minute of it, man. So being around Abu and those guys, man, it was really good. We got a chance to do some good things, man. I just wish I would have had a little more time with them because they ended up trading me out, you know, right after the season because I had a lot of stuff going on. But man, he was a hell of a teammate to be around, man. I love him.
It was a great. I was an honor to get to know you and play next year. I think you came in on a Tuesday and were playing on the weekend.
That's always been my thing, man. I come to town and when I first came in, I think it was 01, 02, around that little time, man. When I first came to the Bombers, man, Dave Ritchie at the time was the head coach. And after the second day of practice, he said, "You're starting at left tackle." I said, "Well, let's get it." And we made it happen, man. We had a hell of a run, man.
Yeah, can I get the playbook, coach? Nah, just go
exactly.
In there.
I didn't know the playbook. I didn't have team. I didn't know the teammate. We just made it work, man.
Wow, that is unbelievable. So, Garrick, we're following this very closely up here. Since you appeared on our show last December, along with George Cortez and Narco that day, and you brought your guy, Caron Williams, as well on that Monday, we've been following what you're doing. The Texans haven't gotten any better since, by the way, right? 0-2 to start this season. What's up with Garrick Jones for commissioner of the Houston Texans? Where are we at?
Well, I've still been pushing a petition, man. But, you know, along with the petition, I've been making sure that I've been taking care of, you know, the business that I got to take care of, which is, you know, all the certifications, aligning myself with the right mentors. You know, I'm being mentored by John Wooden right now, Lynn Lashbrook. We got Rush Land. You know, all these guys that either scouted me or have had, you know, an impact on the NFL in regards to the Rooney Rule, those types of things, man. You know, I reconnected with Mike Tomlin. You know, because we were at Arkansas State together. That was one of his first coaching gigs. And, you know, when I first came in, so we got a chance to get real close. And those guys have been really supportive. You know, they've been walking with me and just teaching me everything that they know. So I've just been like a sponge, man. And I've really been focusing on getting with the fans and really connecting with those guys and just letting them know, man, I want to be a voice for them. So now it's a situation where, you know, the Texans aren't doing as good as they should have. You know, some offseason moves that were questionable. And now people are starting to see that, you know, it's just a culmination of everything that led up to this point. And this first quarter, you know, hopefully they can get this thing turned around or they run the risk of going 0-4 with the first quarter of the season. And that's not going to be good morale for the locker room. And that's one of the things that I just want to be able to be able to connect with those players that are there now and just let them know, listen, man, you got people that are fighting for you. Because right now it's a lot of disconnection in the organization right now, man. So I'm working hard, man. I'm putting in the work. I can promise you that.
Oh, no doubt. And one of our viewers, Don McNeil in Southern Ontario, says, "I'm a Texans fan, Houston NFL fan, going back to 1978. Bill O'Brien is the Donald Trump of coaches. You wonder whose side he's on. Bill O has to go." Is that a prevailing feeling down there?
That's like the overall feeling of the city right now. And, you know, ultimately, everything starts and ends with leadership, you know, and that's what has to happen. You know, when it comes down to putting things together, people got to buy into the plan that you have for them. And unfortunately, that plan wasn't clear and concise for everybody to understand what was going on, you know, with everything that went on with the athletes that are no longer there. And the fans are upset, man. I mean, they've been paying their hard-earned money, and I get it. You know, they want a team that they can get behind. Because we need something to be able to cheer about, especially out here in Houston, because, I mean, we're getting hurricanes every other day. You got the COVID-19 situation still going full force. And people just need that release and that outlet. And, you know, when you see the players playing, you know, the game and there's nothing to them, there's no life, there's no energy, you can tell that they've checked out. And that's not good morale for everybody. So. Right now, it's on him to correct his ship, man, and get it back to where it needs to be because he is the catalyst for everything that has happened over the last few years. So it's up to him to right this ship, man, and that's what it's all about right now.
Hey, man, I just want to say thanks for reminding us, you know, manly, stubborn men that to go out and seek help and get mentorship and surround ourselves with good people because we forget that. I forget it. I know you, Rod, does. And you're always there saying, hey, putting a hand out there, remind us to get help. Thank you.
Man, no, you're welcome, man. You got to do that.
That's just what you do. I know that you're. And, but let's go back and see what are people really afraid? What are people concerned about? It was a big trade that sent DeAndre Hopkins to Arizona and brought back nothing against David Johnson, but he had a really big rookie season, and now he's just kind of another guy. But to O'Brien's defense, he did stockpile the receiving core.
That's the thing about it, man. You can have all the horses in the stable that you want, but if you don't know how to ride, you know, you got a problem, you know, and that's ultimately the situation that's going on. It's about coaching. It's about being creative. Those guys are professional athletes. It didn't matter who I was playing. When we played, you know, you got to line up and you got to physically beat me, you know, no matter what the situation was. But unfortunately, the players have had to rise above coaching far too many times. So, and they've saved a lot that's going on there, you know?
So why can't Randall Cobb run that dig route the way Hopkins did?
Two different athletes, man. Two different athletes, you know? And that's the thing, man. It's about being a transformational leader, you know, bringing out the best in people. And I think a lot of that is organizational right now. And it's that old school mentality, man. We're dealing with an entirely different generation now. And you have to be able to make those adjustments, and you got to be able to coach with the guys that you draft. I'm a firm believer in if I draft you, I want you to retire with our organization. So I'm going to bring the coaches in, and we're going to adjust to your capabilities and put you in a position to be doing the right thing at the right time. And I don't see that happening there. And it's unfortunate because it's shipping guys out that were cornerstones of this program that could very well have us in a Super Bowl or be Super Bowl contenders. And that was just a few years ago. These guys were playing for each other and they loved each other. And now you start taking those family members away, man. It's hard to keep that locker room together, man. You know how it is.
Yeah. But not a lot of people know what some of the issues, but you talked about calling plays for your players and the NFL seems to be sometimes such a cookie cutter league that you just call plays because the next guy is the same as the last guy. Rod and I were talking earlier about Cam Newton. Third and goal, taking the snap. Now Cam Newton's not a regular quarterback coming downhill 5 yards. So where do you stand? I like the play calling as far as understanding who your quarterback is. If that's Matt Ryan, I don't like the play call. Where do you stand on that play call yesterday?
Oh man, you let Cam be Cam. You know that's what it is, and that's the reason why those coaches are getting paid top dollar as well. They have to be able to rely and trust their players. Cam has done that type of deal his entire career. So why would he not be able to do it now? You know, and especially with him being motivated and he wants to, he has a chip on his shoulder and he has something to prove. And that's being a coach that understands you got to know your personnel. And unfortunately, a lot of these coaches, they get set in their ways, man. And they don't necessarily know their personnel and there's not anyone holding them accountable, you know, and that's the hardest thing about it. You know, when we played, you know, if you weren't getting a job done, it was somebody coming to replace you. They have to have that same type of fire under them in order to make sure that, all right, look, I know I got to make this right. I got to do the right thing. I got to make the right calls. And I got people, you got to put people in positions to win. And a lot of times that's not happening. So he's not Brady. You know, he's Cam Newton. So utilize him. He's a big frame and he has a chip on his shoulder. So he's not going to be afraid to run through somebody at this particular point in his career. So you just got to go for it, you know?
Yo, Jeezy, you're dropping a lot of knowledge here today. People are quoting you in the Facebook Live wall here. You can have all the horses in the stable, but you need to know how to ride. Is that a Garrett Jones original? I think it is.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. It'll be a couple more quotes here before we're done, man. I got you.
Hey, so the Southern Pro Development League, if I got that right, tell us about the league that you've been running. How did COVID hit it?
Oh, well, that's the state's developmental football league, but it's okay. Well, COVID for us, what we've done is we made sure that, you know, outside of just playing physical ball, our athletes would be able to do things. And that's like financial literacy, that's business, branding, entrepreneurship. So we've really been focusing on those types of things. The physical play is probably 30% of what we do. And ultimately, I want the state's developmental football league to be a feeder for the NFL because we'll be running at the same time. And when these teams go to camp, they're going to bring in 90 guys, but they got to chop that down to 53. So it makes sense to allocate those guys to our platform and utilize the fact that we'll be dealing with a lot of these players who actually played the game, that will be coaching, that want to scout, that want to be upper management, GMs, those types of things. And it's a true developmental type of situation for everybody. But in regards to playing, I don't want them playing right now. I want them focusing on business and branding and all those things. So that way we focus on this thing 365 days a year, not just during the season. And that right there offsets like a COVID situation where not having a lot of people in the audience, you're still profitable. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those deals, man. It's ready made. You know, the heavy lifting has been done. I'm looking to try to, you know, get that into the NFL at some point and see if this is something that, you know, would be the facelift that they need and give them an opportunity to keep developing these guys, because pretty soon next year, the preseason situation is like a CFL deal. You know, you got two games and these guys aren't getting developed. So we want to have a platform that they can develop, you know, and that's what it's been about. Just everything that I've seen, you know, throughout my career, I wanted to make sure that we address that and have that in a league that's fully functional. But we're good, man. We got a lot of guys that are, you know, acting in movies and doing things right now. So we just been kind of running our race, you know?
Well, yeah, we have a lot of players watch this show, Garrick, as you know, because they tell you about it. But what you're teaching them in that league very much comes in handy now, right? It's like one of our owners here, Paul, says it's you. You can't learn to swim when you're drowning. You might have wanted to know how to do this before the spit hit the fan. And so Don in Southern Ontario, that Houston fan, writes in and says, how can I sign the petition? Maybe we should clarify that, Garrick, where they can find you and get on board with this.
Got you. So with the petition, it's basically a petition I started through change.org. And if you want to find me, you can search out the hashtag GJ4GM. So that's hashtag GJ number 4GM, and everything that I'm posting, everything that I'm doing online will pop up, including that petition. And basically that petition is more or less a resume of sorts for myself. I have, you know, pretty much all of the different interviews that I've had, my qualifications, the different things that I've done in the past, and it gives people an opportunity to learn about me. And then from there, you know, if there's something that they want to get behind, they can actually sign it and comment on it, and then share it with their networks. And I'm just trying to do it organically. I don't want to have a lot of ads out there that I'm sponsoring, I'm paying for. I want to do this thing organically, and I want people to get a chance to know me and understand that I come to work every day with an offensive lineman's mentality. So it's shut up and put your pads on with me. And that's what it's about. It's showing up, being consistent, and showing these people that, you know, you have people that are here, especially for the city of Houston. My thing is we need a Super Bowl. We have to adopt a win now mentality. And that's just from the foundation that we laid here. I don't want all the sweat, blood and tears that my generation put into this thing to go in vain. So that's why I raised my hand and said, man, let's make some things happen. Let's bring the city back and let's hoist this Lombardi trophy up here, man, and make it happen.
In that time, Don just found the petition and has signed it. And I would suggest you share it, too, if you can, Don. Craig is watching from the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto. Craig Campbell, he says, this is an excellent interview with Garrick Jones. Well, he's an excellent guy. Is there anything else, Kamish, that we can do to help? And by the way, I'm using that term because Hank told us that's what we're supposed to call you. You know that now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hank is my guy. I told Hank, as soon as I get this gig, man, I'm coming to get him. You know, I'm coming to get him, man. I'm trying to bring everybody aboard on this thing, man, in any way, shape, form, or fashionable. But, man, as far as just the petition, just pushing it out there, I mean, you know, being on this platform is good enough. The people get a chance to see it. You know, my counterparts, my colleagues, all the former players that I deal with the NFLPA Houston chapter and Huddle Up Foundation of Houston, they're seeing this. And man, it's a family, man. This is what this is about. You know, right now I'm hosting a diversity and inclusion workshop that we've been doing for the last 8 weeks and just teaching people about, man, just acceptance and understanding that in order for us to get anywhere in life, it's teamwork. I can't do any of this thing on my own. You know, if I'm on the offensive line, I'm working with my brothers and we are the loudest group on the field. We have to be. And that's the mentality that I have, man, when it comes down to anything that I put my hand to and say, look, let's go make it happen. So right now, just pushing it out there, guys. This is a beautiful thing. We're in a really good time right now, even though it's a lot going on. It's all about focusing, and by the time 2021 hits, we're going to shine bright like diamonds, man.
You bet. All right, Garrick, anything you need, you know where to find us. Good luck with everything. Absolutely. And appreciate the time today.
Yes, sir. Abu, good to see you again, Doc.
See you, man. Be safe.
There you go. Jeezy, Garrick Jones checking in from the great state. And I do have to tell a story. You have to come on our next sports trip whenever we have it. But we're in Houston. You know how we do it with the live show. And we're in the lobby of the hotel. And I said to the security, we're getting all set up to do the live show. You've been part of them. And I said to the security guy, there's going to be a large man come through that door, and he's going to block out the sun. He'll be the largest person you've ever seen in your life. It was the commish.
And his stature's big, too.
That he's even bigger than that.
Yep.
Exactly. Oh, what a great show that day with Caron Williams and Garrick George. Which, by the way, Jeezy's saying no matter where we go with this show all over the continent from now on, particularly America, he will line up NFL alum for us because he's the president of the Houston chapter of the Alumni Association. Everybody's signing it now. Rick Haglund checks in. Abu, we'll let you go. You've certainly dropped a lot of knowledge today. Anything else you'd like to say before we let you go? Like,
next time, can we turn these lights down a little bit? I'm a little bit sensitive on my eyes.
Good job.
I'm shiny. I got more forehead than I did last time, I think.
One more from John in Winnipeg. John Ohm. Ohm. Love your positive attitude, Mr. Jones. I hope he does end up as GM of the Houston Texans. That'll be fantastic. Sports update coming up. Overtime. Lots to go. We'll be right back. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Oh, yeah. He's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm going to throw one at you real hot.
What day is it?
It's Monday. I was going to answer it before you asked it. I knew it was coming.
It's Monday, and that means the show is brought to you by Bidzy. Do you have a job and don't know who to contact? Bidzy it. Do you own a business and want to be alerted of nearby customers? Bidzy it. Big or small, Bidzy connects businesses and people to jobs. Post your project on Bidzy.com for free today. My family's done it, and we endorse it.
I'm the Houston Astros of broadcasting. I know the question that's coming before you ask it.
Oh, okay, fair.
You get it?
Yes, I heard somebody else described as the Houston Astros of broadcasting, and it's because everybody hated them.
Oh, no.
So there's a difference.
I can't speak on that. I can't speak on that.
Yeah. Sports update, game two of the Stanley Cup final between the Dallas Stars and Tampa Bay Lightning goes tonight in Edmonton. Dallas leads the best of seven series 1-0. Lightning star Steven Stamkos participated in Tampa's morning skate today. He has yet to appear in the playoffs due to an undisclosed injury. No time like the present.
Oh, yeah.
What do you got to save it for? Come on, Stammer. The Toronto Blue Jays start a four-game series with the New York Yankees tonight at Salem Field in Buffalo. The Jays enter the final week of the regular season with a... What? It's here already? Did you know that?
Fast.
Final week of the regular season begins today. Jays-Yankees. They get a four-game lead over Seattle for the final wildcard playoff spot in the American League. Whoo! Everybody's going to be paying attention this week.
Yeah.
The Las Vegas Raiders will unveil their $1.9 billion stadium when they take on the New Orleans Saints in NFL action tonight. Allegiant Stadium has been dubbed the Death Star due to its intimidating appearance. No fans will be on hand for the stadium's opening, however, and that is a shame.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders will play their first season in Vegas without spectators due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Ross Chastain will get a regular ride next NASCAR season. Chastain will drive the number 42 car for Chip Ganassi Racing. The veteran has been driving the Chevrolet since Kyle Larson was fired earlier this year for using a racial slur. The sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and drive-through liquor store at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G protein bars, the best you'll ever have. Seven amazing flavors. RP Show viewers get a 20% off discount with the promo code RP Show. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. Now, since you are the soothsayer of everything, Darren, I tell you, if the NHL had gone to you first, with your bubble idea, that would have saved them a lot of time.
Yeah.
So you're now hearing the misinformation with COVID continues, okay? I get a notification from one of the accounts that I follow on my phone yesterday. NHL 2020-21 season in doubt. And then this morning I get an email from the NHL saying Gary Bettman declares 82-game season is on. Right? No. Diametrically opposed reports there. So in the vein of we just got to be careful who we're getting our information from, how do you feel about a season next year for the National Hockey League moving forward?
I feel pretty good about it, but you also have to remember just because they were able to complete these playoffs doesn't mean they're going to be able to complete a season because it's completely different. You can't ask these players to be in bubbles for 8 months, right? No. A month or two, that was enough. And that is enough. And that's not even for all the teams. You know, only two teams right down to the end are still in the bubble. So they have to get creative. They maybe have to do something, you know, in terms of a bubble in your division, perhaps. Play a few division games, then get a break. But you're going to have to
realignment.
Yeah, realignment. Mm. Then play your interdivision games for a couple of weeks, get a little break. The issue with that is the more times you break the bubble and then have to retest everybody, you really hope everybody's doing their part because as soon as you have negative tests, you might end up with a quarter of your team not being able to come back and play the next stretch of the season. So that's really tough. Or, you know, you really have to have, you know, control over where they go in their home cities, right? When they go to their families at home and then they go back, you know, and travel. So, you know, baseball's doing it. I think baseball's more of a realistic approach to what hockey can do. And they're going to have to monitor what baseball's done, being able to travel from city to city and how they've controlled each team's environment. But I'm cautiously optimistic, but it'll be nothing like what we've seen during the playoffs, and it won't be nearly as easy to pull off.
Well, now that you talk, I'm writing the time code of that, DD on NHL. You said it, where there's a will, there's a way. They found a way to pull this off, and who would have thought that they would do that?
Yeah.
In the Stanley Cup playoffs, for one. For two, you're looking at the MLB and NFL, two pretty big leagues that are playing not in bubbles, just being responsible with hotels. So if the NHL just drew a line, beep, across the 49th parallel and had a Canadian division, how salacious would that be?
It'd be so
great. It'd
be
the greatest thing ever.
It'd be so great.
It'd be the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
And then divide up the states however you want, and they play in that region. You call it divisions, but I'll call it regions. Yeah. So I think that they will play. Because I was starting to think, well, you couldn't have it in the NHL because you got teams crossing the border. Wait. Like, if an idiot like me can figure that out, you know the NHL owners have figured that out.
Yeah. Right. And then you have something where, just like the Jays, you know, the Canadian teams, you know, once they've exhausted playing each other for a few months, then they go down and literally play on the road for a couple of months. Zip around, play all these road games across, you know, the United States or something different. But they're going to have to get creative on how they do it. That's for sure.
Wayne in Victoria is watching. He says, we have to get back to normal life. Realistically, you need fans in the stands. For sure. And this is the Fred Flintstone situation that I'm in and I think we're all in. The Freddy Devil here and the Freddy Angel here. The angel, the devil's saying, we gotta play. We need fans. The angel's saying, but we can't. People are dying from coronavirus. I mean, the report coming out today that John Liu has been seriously affected by coronavirus. Didn't die, but suffered from blackouts, passed out. I'm not saying that in any way facetiously. That's serious stuff. So on the one side, it is that. We got to get playing. We got to get back to normal. On the other side, it's this. We need to separate people. And in the government is responsible for the health of the public. Period. So as much as I've signed the petition to get back to playing hockey and we need fans in the stands and I don't like to see. We saw two U.S. junior teams cease operations for this season. Now, you can see why. What was the league? The Western Professional Hockey League. Way back in the spring, canceled this season because they saw this coming. I just don't think the governments are going to budge, no matter how many names you have on your petition or how many people show up at the legislature and pick it. We want to play. We want to play. I don't see it changing.
See, and I don't, you know, they're willing to cut off the leg to save the body, the government.
Are they?
You know, at the point of, if sports have to go away and never come back the way we're used to them, they're okay with that if it means saving people's lives.
Right.
And that sucks. You know the trauma that would go through somebody's, if it's like deciding to cut off the leg and never walk again? Like, that would take a long time to get
lived
over.
Lived it in our family, just so you
know. And people are going through that with sports. The ability, the, they're going to take away our sports?
Yep.
That's the same type of mentality. Now, I hope that doesn't happen. We're not at that point yet. But if it ever got to it...
We're darn close.
It's very similar, right? It's very similar. And, you know, it's hard to... You know, you fight the doctor. You can save the leg, can't you? Or you're not good at your job, but they're trying to save the entire body.
Well... I was nice to bring in a third party, if you will, and that being Mike Abumrad, who's very open-minded, very inclusive. But in hour one, and you'll be seeing it on our social media, believe me, because I wrote it down, he just said, one positive case that we've seen in 16,000 people at Arrowhead Stadium. And everybody's saying, no more crowds! And it was like, one in 16,000? Really? You're saying that for that? And he said, if you are susceptible or vulnerable to the virus, don't go to a football game. I'm not saying Mike Abumrad is the be-all and the end-all, but what I am saying is let's just look at it reasonably here. Well, we'll continue this and come back. I got text messages to get to in the Prairie Mobile text line. More from all you viewers. It's the RP Show and Overtime's Ahead on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Okay, what's great about Overtime is it is a real dog's breakfast, kind of like tying everything together from what was the Quick Six show topics, plus what came up on the show. Robert Kazakoff has written in a few things today, and I got to get to the bottom of this. When news breaks during the show... I can't go investigating this stuff, but he tells me the Weyburn Red Wings have unveiled a mascot. You want to write this morning? Mind blowing. So there's that. That was way back in hour one, he said that. And Robert goes on to say, Trump says Canadians want to have the border open. I'm not arguing. Who else wants it open? Hey, we're not going to get into a holy war here today. We do our best to avoid all that talk on this program every day, but this is what I can tell you for sure. Some want it open, some don't. And it's up to the leaders to decide. And we elected them, put them there for a reason. And then if you don't like their decisions in 4 years, you can punt their ass out. That's how it works. So I'm kind of going back and forth on the sports thing with my, all my friends are being so significantly impacted. And entertainment, too. That's why I ended my 10 things column by saying, look, whoever needs to hear this is going to hear this. Sports is a business. It's not a recreation. It's not a pastime. It's a damn industry, as is entertainment. And thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people's livelihoods depend on it. And what really ticked me off was I was on a boat last weekend with a guy who was just big money guy, owns a company. He's like, we don't need sports. Come on, we don't need sports. We can live without sports. Well, why don't we take your company away? And let's see how that goes over. We can live without what you do. It's not that important. It really ticked me off when the guy said that.
And if you think that, you know, we have a lot of success on this program because... we don't necessarily need games to have the show. We talk about this as a morning coffee get-together.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the issues, whether it's about sports, and if sports goes away, it'll be whatever other issues that we decide to talk about in our morning get-together. But don't for a second think that this hasn't impacted our business.
No.
If you look in the office, there's a massive 12-month events calendar that I had to take the dry erase marker to and wipe them all off. And that's not just promotions. That's a revenue stream of our business is events and getting out in the public and meeting people and putting on events and all of those things around sports. So, you know, all of those things matter. And if we're hit that hard, imagine what a team's hurt where that's their sole revenue is getting people in the door. So I completely understand. Completely. But that being said, if it never goes back to normal, we'll pivot. It's what we do.
Yeah. Well, I've lived my life being grateful and not thinking about what I don't have, which, by the way, I spent 40 years living that way, which most people are living that way, upset what they can't do or can't get, as opposed to being happy for what they do have, i.e., where I make the most money in my life, and you know this, and my business manager and accountant damn sure do, is the corporate speaking and speaking in schools, getting in front of large groups. Like way back when this started, like a few months in, my business manager, you know him, Joe Brokentoe, Joe 747 Gunnis, says, "You, I don't even want to tell you how much money you're losing right now." And I look at it and say, there's going to be a lot of people lose way more. So I've never been upset that way. But I'm kind of upset for the sports people because they're afraid to say anything. I hear from them all the time. And they're afraid if they speak out, they're going to get fired, you know. Mandy in Edmonton says, yes, keep spreading the news, Rod. It's business and livelihoods. I hear you 100%. Stephen Numidall says, sports isn't just a hobby. It's an industry that feeds tens of thousands. Far more than that, probably, in this country alone. John in Winnipeg, sports is life. Lots and lots of people depend on it. I find it just so casual, ignorant, and arrogant when somebody just sloughs it off and says, oh, sports aren't important. And I get the argument of the high school senior football player that's been building his whole life to start in grade 12 and get exposed in the football term and not get that scholarship and have to end his career. I've heard so many of those stories of people who have had it ended their playing. I'm just used to it now,
yeah.
7 months in, and I get it. But did you die? Like Chow in The Hangover.
Yes.
But did you die? But you're insensitive if you say that. Well, I would go on to say, what do you say to the families who's lost a loved one who's taken their own life because of COVID controls? What do you say to them? Roger in Calgary, thanks for speaking what many of us are thinking, Rod. I hear that so often, I'm almost wondering, why am I taking so many bullets? Because eventually, the vampire does die with an accumulation of silver bullets. You know what I mean? Why am I standing up here saying as much as I am? Because there's not a lot of other people saying it, if you've noticed.
Right.
You've noticed?
I've noticed. There's not a lot of other people saying it. But it's interesting because everybody's so upset about it. And when you're upset, it's hard to speak clearly and rationally. We don't see people speaking rationally about it. That's a problem. You know, it's like when the kid has the temper tantrum, right? You know, about, you know, whether it's COVID controls or whatever. Well, whatever they're screaming, it's incoherent and it doesn't, and it's so emotional that it's not rational. It doesn't make any sense. So you almost need to let them have, you can kind of let the dust settle a little bit and speak about the issues from an actual, you know, rational point of view, see both sides of it, and it relates to a lot of what other people are saying, but having trouble communicating it in that way. It works. It works.
We've been talking about this for 7 months, and I could go for literally for another hour.
Yeah.
But Wayne says, people don't realize the sports affect your mental health as well. All of that, even as a fan or playing, so forth. I do get a little concerned when I think about, well, if there is no NHL season and the NFL is literally the only league playing into February, and then what? You know, what are we going to talk about on this show? And then I realized we went a full 4 months with no sports on this show, and we grew.
The question.
So I'm very grateful for that.
And the question never even came up.
No.
In any of our meetings. Like the term, what are we going to talk about with no games, wasn't even mentioned in these halls.
Never.
At all.
Okay, we got to go off the air because one of our viewers in Hamilton has lost me. The great Leo Ezrins. He says they all use the same barber. Who and what is he talking about? I don't. Yeah. Text me later, Leo. We're done. We out. You can vote for the rock star of the day today. A lot of great choices today. Mike Abu-Meshrick, Mike Morreale, Garrick Jones, Dustin Nielsen. Just a fantastic way to start the week. We're glad Clark's back. I told him in the pregame meeting.
Oh, yes.
Clark, one thing we realized when we were gone, you do a lot of work. Not that I didn't know that, but it was really hit home this week, last week. Tomorrow, Tony Ambrosio, another fantastic SCORE alumni. Hi, Ricky. Bubba O'Neill. Tony Ambrosio and I worked together at the SCORE, and then he's now at Saga 960 Radio, I believe, in Toronto with Mike Richards.
I'm excited to hear him again.
That's going
to
be good.
Yeah.
Bubba O'Neill, Clint Bubba O'Neill from CHCH TV in Hamilton. And you got him, eh? Joe Craig Jr., former Rough Rider receiver who was in apparently the fight of his life. Joe's going to be honest to tell his story and how we can all help him out. So that's tomorrow. Until then, thanks, everybody. Check our social media feeds for the highlights, and we'll see you at 10 a.m. Tuesday right here on Facebook Live and Game Plus TV. You screwed up, Clark!
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.